Spirit leads us. But Pastor Joel is the only pastor that has told me what not to preach on. He says nothing more about addictions, coffee addictions, other addictions, and so on and so forth. So no, I'm not going there. Don't worry about that. It is a blessing to be with you all. It's probably been about 4 years. Great blessing to be with you again. We thank God for you. Pray that God will bless you, protect you, extend your borders. Thank you for your faithful help, your prayer, and the special missionary offerings that the church has given in the past. Incredible. Nobody does that. We don't have a single church that does what you guys do regarding this missionary offering that Pastor was mentioning. So very, very kind of you. Very gracious. We appreciate it. Was in Colombia this week and just got to the States a few days ago, so I thought I might come up to the pulpit, start speaking Spanish, but no, everything's good. Everything's clear. It's a blessing to be here. Let me pray. Let me pray for our time together, for the church, for you, for our time together this evening. Father, you are big. You are a big God. You are bigger than everything that we have done in the past. And with faith and repentance, your blood, your forgiveness covers everything. You're bigger than everything that we have done in the past. You're bigger than what other people have done to us. Things that people have done to us, that have said to us. You are bigger than all of that. We can let that go with forgiveness and prayer and if we need help to work through that, but you are bigger than that. You're bigger than our present circumstances, whether it be financial or health or job or studies. And we have anxieties and we don't know how things are going to turn out. You are bigger than all of that. And you are bigger than our future needs as we look down the road. And we're so full of what if and what if and what if. And you are bigger than all of that. We thank you for your work in us. Thank you for this blessed church. Pray that you will bless Pastor Joel and all of the leadership team here. Transitions that are coming. Pray that you'll bless this church, protect it, give it one heart, one mind, give it unity. Never let the devil get a foot in here to divide us or discourage us. Lift this church up, help it to be a great beacon. Help us to be light and salt. Pray that you'll extend the borders of this church, that we can reach out further and further in our Jerusalem, and then as we support and work towards our Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. Extend the borders of this church. Use it as a great lighthouse in this community, in this city. Take us forward, Father. Bless us. Pray that you'll bless the Christmas activities that are coming up that we offer to you. And as we reflect upon what you've done for us and your love and the message of love and hope, bless all of our ministries relating to Christmas and coming up to New Year as well. Thank you for a blessed Thanksgiving time as we remember the many blessings and things that you do for us and who you are. Bless our Thanksgiving celebrations. We pray for your help this evening as we meditate upon your word and review your great power and grace in what you're doing in Peru and in South America. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you ever feel lonely, alone? Nobody walks in your shoes, and by the way, they don't. People will go through similar experiences, but these things don't impact them the way they impact you with your personality, your family, your circumstances. And sometimes we feel very alone and sometimes just beat down. What do you do when you just find out that your wife has cancer? And thoughts are spinning and spinning, and what will happen and what kind of treatment, and there's all types of treatments, and what treatment and how long, and will it work and will it turn out, and the finances, the insurance, and what if it doesn't turn out right? And what if you have a son or a daughter that's strayed from the Lord, and you raise them in the Word with biblical principles? And they're adult now, and they've just made poor choices, and they drifted away. And on top of it, what if people in the church are murmuring and criticizing and judging you? Where you need comfort and help. And there are people who are judging and criticizing you, and all you need is comfort and help. and you just lost your job, and 3 months now you're looking for a job and you can't find a job. And you just don't know where to turn, what to do. And you're supposed to apply online, and they didn't want to see your face. They just apply online, and what's with that? And wow, what do I do? What do you do when your wife and your oldest daughter don't answer their cell phone? They left the restaurant in Arequipa, and they don't answer their cell phone. And then you figure out that they have been kidnapped by the taxi driver. And they're being held in a garage somewhere for hours, robbing them and who knows what. And you're at your home with your younger daughter, and she's saying, "Daddy, what do we do? What do we do?" And there's nothing to do in a city of 1 million at night with 50,000 yellow taxis. And you just pray. And praise God, in our case, Debbie called me, and they dumped her out on the street with Nicole, and they were okay. Praise the Lord, they were not molested, they were okay, and a traumatic experience. And what do you do when these things happen? And what do you do if your husband suffers a heart attack or your wife suffers a stroke? What do you do? And now your parents can't live alone, and perhaps the other brothers and sisters don't want to help with their care. And so the burden is falling to you, but you're working, your wife is working, and there's hardly room in your house, and all of these things, and what do? And you feel very much alone. And similar experiences have happened to other people, but your circumstances and your family and how this is playing out is different than anybody else. And so it is. We are unique. So it is. And we just feel sometimes beat down and lost and confused and alone. Trying to discover God's will about job or future or moving, and you just cannot see your way clear. You just don't know what to do. What happens if we're going through difficulties in the church and some people in the church, and this happens worldwide? I'm not talking about any church. It happens worldwide, where people think church and ministry is about them, and they want to impose their decisions and their criteria upon the church. And so they're politicking, and there's a business meeting coming up. And we even had one guy, can you believe it, in a new church plant. And one guy in our church in Arequipa would invite people out for supper and pay for them and fill them with his poison. "You're going to vote this way, and this is the way it needs to be." Can you believe it? Like, this is a new church plant. Is there anywhere we can go to escape this stuff? No. Sin is sin. Immature people are immature people. Carnal people are carnal people. Life and ministry is not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. It is not about imposing what we want. "No, Pastor, we're changing the carpet, and it's got to be red. And I've talked to a lot of people now." Why are you talking to a lot of people? "But I've talked to a lot of people, and they all say it." "Yeah, but they say it's right." "Yeah, because you bought them supper. It's got to be red, Pastor. And if it's not red, then I'm going to give up my Sunday school class. Not going to teach anymore, or I'm not coming anymore. Well, I'll come, but I'm not going to give my tithes and offerings." And you know what that does? If I don't give my tithes and offerings, then that way I can punish the pastor and the leaders and the church for not doing what I want them to do, and I can punish them. Do you know how many people actually do this around the world? Yes. You're not punishing anybody but yourself and your children, because God is going to take his blessing off from your family. Do you understand? And I'm not referring to you or any church. I'm saying these things happen around the world, and they've happened to us in new church plants. You're going to punish God and the pastor for not doing what you want by stop attending or giving up your Sunday school class or not doing tithe and offering, or "I'm not going to help with the youth group anymore." We're only hurting ourselves when we take those terrible attitudes. But people do it. People do it. And so sometimes the leaders, the pastors, feel very alone. We've gone through 2 attacks like that in a church plant. And just, we've been involved in 5 church plants in the city of Arequipa. And just in our latest church plants, this type of stuff has happened to us twice. And you feel alone. You feel discouraged. You feel alone and beating your head against the wall. And these people don't understand. And then ministry in the church is not about us. And it's not about imposing. It's not about giving ultimatums to the church and punishing the church. It's about serving God with humility, right? Mm-hmm. And what do you do when your mother just died and you're devastated? And then what do you do if you find out that your 17-year-old daughter is pregnant? And yes, you raised her in the Word. And yes, she knows better. And she admits she knows better. But she made a bad choice. Or what do you do if your husband is fighting with alcohol? What do you do when all of these things happen? Well, God is bigger than all of this. He is bigger than what you and I have done in the past. He's bigger than what other people have done to us, including abuse and comments and so forth. He's bigger than our present circumstances and needs where we can't see our way clear. And he's bigger than our future needs and scenario. God is bigger than all of that. We are not alone. Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And this is what Jesus was trying to tell the disciples shortly before he died and ascended up into heaven. You are not alone. It will feel like you're alone sometimes, but no, you are not alone. And Jesus is trying to prepare the disciples for that moment, and they didn't quite understand it. And so John chapter 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. So I'm going to have to go away, but I will be with you spiritually. This physical body has to be sacrificed, and it will raise again, and it will go to the Father. This physical body is as I am. But spiritually speaking, I will be with you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And where I'm going, I will come so that you will be with me also." Verse 4. "And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas, wait a minute. No. We're confused here. We don't understand. We don't know the road. We don't know the way. And Jesus said, repeat it with me. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the but by me. If you know me, you know the way. Let not your hearts be troubled." You're not alone. Things, your world is going to be turned upside down in a very short time. You're going to be completely lost and confused and devastated. And your whole world is upside down, and you're going to feel completely alone, and you will be persecuted. And you don't know which way to turn, but you are not alone. I am with you. I am with you spiritually. I will go back to my Father, but spiritually, I will be with you. You are not alone. And on top of that, I'm going to send another person to help you. Who is that? The Holy Spirit. So look over with me at verse 16. John 14, 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter or helper that you may abide with, that he may abide with you forever. You would not be alone, and I will send you another helper." The Greek term here is the term paraclete. Don't be confused. Don't be confused. The word paraclete in and of itself does not mean comforter. But there's not a single English word that will express all of what the Greek word paraclete means. Paraclete comes from two words. It comes from the word para, which means to be alongside of someone. This is on, right? To be alongside of someone to help them. And cleat comes from the Greek word kaleo, which is the verb called. So it literally means someone who is called by God to come alongside of another to aid them and help them according to their need. Now, one of the things the Holy Spirit does is comfort us. But this Greek word in and of itself doesn't mean comfort. There's another Greek word which means comfort. For instance, in 2 Corinthians 1, the Bible says that we're going through trials. God is the God of all comfort. And that's a different word, and that's the Greek word for comfort. This word is the word paraclete. It means someone who is called by God to come alongside of another to aid and help them according to their need. Whatever their need is, this person is here to aid them and help them. This word appears 5 times in the Greek New Testament. That is, the New Testament was written in Greek, And the word paraclete appears five times in the Greek New Testament. The first occurrence is here. I will send you another comforter. Now, what does another mean? I will send you another. What does that represent? What does that express to you? Extra. Exactly. So we already have one paraclete, and that is Jesus Christ. Even though his body is with the Father, spiritually, he is with us, and he is our paraclete. And he says, I will send you another. There's two Greek words for the word another. One means another of a total different stripe, a total different kind. In Galatians 1, Paul says, some people are preaching another gospel, completely different. Works. It's by works. It's different. It's another. But this Greek word, another, means another of the same kind, the same type, just like me. So I won't be with you physically, but I will be with you spiritually. On top of that, I will send you another helper just like me. You are never alone. We have our perfect, holy, complete, divine paraclete. So let's see here quickly where this term appears. Here in 14:16, right? Okay, let's jump over to verse 26. 14:26 is the second time the word paraclete. But the paraclete, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you in all things and shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. And Jesus is just giving them a little taste of what the Holy Spirit paraclete will do in their life. They've experienced a lot of the things that Jesus paraclete does in their life, and that will continue even apart from his physical bodily presence, and his paraclete ministry will continue. And so now he's given us the flavor of what the Holy Spirit will do in our life as a second paraclete. So let's go over to 15:26, and this is the third time that this word appears. Remember, it appears five times. This is the third time, 15:26. But when the paraclete is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me and shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And so he's sharing with them some of the role of the Holy Spirit in our life. Look at chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. This is the fourth time the word paraclete appears in the Greek New Testament. 7 and 8, 16, 7 and 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, then the paraclete will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I will send the paraclete to you. And he convicts the world of sin, and he convicts us of sin, and he reproves the world of righteousness and of many things. Now, go with me almost to the end of the Bible, 1 John chapter 2. And here we have the fifth occurrence of this word paraclete, 1 John chapter 2. Verse 1. 1 John 2, 1, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have a paraclete with the Father, Jesus Christ. Well, we already knew Jesus was our paraclete, because in John he said, I will give you another one. So we already knew that he was one, and then we knew the Holy Spirit was one. And this verse reaffirms for us that Jesus is our paraclete. It can be translated advocate or whatever, but it's the same Greek word paraclete as in John. Jesus is our paraclete. And here it's referring to one of the ministries of Jesus as our paraclete, that when we sin, he will defend us. And when Satan, our enemy, attacks us, Jesus will defend us and say, this is my child. His sin is covered by my blood. And I think there's a practical application. When the leaders are attacked, or when you are attacked and misrepresented, and you give the best explanation you can as far as your action, your decision, and there's just someone against you, and they will not listen to you, and they don't accept it, and they will twist and turn whatever you're saying, and there comes a point where I have nothing more I can say. There's nothing more I can say. Jesus is my defender. He's my lawyer. He's my intercessor. He's my advocate. And he has to step forward. And with time, he'll have to bring the truth to light, and he'll have to defend us, because there's nothing more I can say about this. I've given the best explanation I can give. You don't want to hear it. I know before God and man what I did was biblical and correct. But when I try to explain it to you, other people understand, but you don't want to understand. There's nothing more I can say. God is my defender. Jesus Christ is my defender. That's one of his rules. So, can you come up and help me for a moment? Yeah, you don't have to act. Yeah, come on up. Yeah, up here. Yeah, in Peru, I would go like this. This means come here in Peru. Yeah. This means come here. Yeah. Or do you feel comfortable coming up, or are you okay? So, here's a physical illustration. Okay, so through repentance and faith, we receive Christ as our personal Savior. Amen? And Jesus lives within us, and he's our paraclete. What does the New Testament say is Jesus' role in our life? He's pastor of pastors. What else does he do in our life? Jesus is our pastor of pastors. He guides us. What else does he do? He shepherds us. He teaches us. He leads us by still waters. I shall not want. Represents us. Defends us. He intercedes for us. Defends us. Represents us. And Jesus is Lord of lords, King of kings. He's pastor of pastors. He's our shepherd. He's our guide. He's our teacher. He's with us. He defends us. He intercedes for us. He helps us. And he does everything that he does as his role as paraclete. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit also accompanies Jesus into our life, and he's our paraclete. And what does the New Testament teach about his role? He seals us, he fills us, he gives us spiritual gifts, he's producing our fruit in us if we respond biblically to the teaching of the Word. If we respond biblically, he produces his fruit in us. He guides us. He does comfort us. His witness, his Spirit witnesses to our witness that we are children of God. He walks with us. He exhorts us. He convicts us of sin. He comforts us. And so Jesus does what the Holy Trinity has determined his role as paraclete in our life. And the Holy Spirit does what the Holy Trinity has determined is the Holy Spirit's life. In John chapter 10, says all of this takes place that we are secure in, John 10, we are secure in Father's hands. And no one can pluck us out of his hands, and no one can knock us out of his hands, and we cannot fall out of his hands. We are secure in the Father's hands. And we have Jesus as our paraclete, and we have the Holy Spirit as our paraclete. And we are safe in the Father's hands. And They work in our, God works in our life according to our unique need, scenario, situation, our shoes. Nobody else understands us. Nobody else knows. Nobody understands. In our shoes, he understands in our shoes, our circumstances, our personality, our gift, this stage of life, our family, our spouse, what is happening to us. And God is with us. We are never alone. We are never alone because our perfect divine paraclete is called. Jesus Christ is sent. The Holy Spirit is sent to come alongside us and to aid us, whatever is our need, economic, education, comfort, exhortation, conviction, encouragement, interceding. We're hurting so bad we don't even know what to pray, how to phrase words, what to say to God. We're so angry, we're so confused, we're so hurt, we're so beat down. And Romans 8 says the Holy Spirit is groaning with us and interceding with us and helping us to pray. And Jesus Christ is interceding for us and helping us in that dark moment. We are never alone. What more do we want? But there is more. Do you feel comfortable sitting here for a moment?
Sure.
And I can pull you up in just a second. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. You okay there? Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5. There is an incredible thing happening here in this passage. Verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, what? Now, what do you think that word might be? It's paraclete, but in the verb form. And it's imperative. It's a command. And it's plural. So if we were down south, it would be y'all. It's plural. And it's a command. And it's paraclete. And what we have here is we have not only been given the ministry of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians 5, but in this passage, we have been given the ministry of paracleting. This is written to the church. It's written to us. It is a command, and it's plural to all of us. And we are commanded, paraclete one with another. That is literally what the passage is saying. Paraclete one with another and edify one another just as you are doing, but keep it up and expand it. Keep it up and expand it. Paraclete with one another. Wherefore, paraclete one with another. So that means that we are called by God also. We're many agents of the Holy Spirit. We're many agents of Jesus Christ. We are human paracletes. We've been given the ministry of paracleting. We have been called and commanded and called by God to come alongside of others to aid them according to their need, within my possibilities and according to their need. And when I can't help someone, then who else can? Apart from God, our perfect paraclete, who else can help someone if I can't? If I can't help someone with their need, who else can? Well, apart from God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ the Father, who else can help someone if I can't? Because I have limitations. Steve Douglas has limitations, terrible limitations. So who else can help? Exactly. You know how we fulfill our paracleting ministry? By the 67 verses in the New Testament that says one another. That is how we fulfill the command of 1 Corinthians 5:11 in our paracleting ministry through the 67 verses that give us one another's. Tell me, what are some of the one another's in the Bible? Carry one another's burdens. Because we feel very lonely and beat down right now. And we know the Holy Spirit is comforting us. But how is it to have someone come alongside and sit down with you and cry with you and pray with you and help you? What does that mean? There's no price to that. What are some other one another's in the New Testament? Love one another. Which leads to forgive one another. Because God is bigger than what these people have done to you unjustly and unfairly. And God is bigger than that. And yes, I can forgive them. And we need to forgive one another. What else? What are some of the one another's? Serve one another. Pray for one another. Pray with each other. Esteem others more than myself. So in the business meeting, I don't think I have all of the answers and I know it all and the world revolves around me and I'm going to impose and I'm going to politic and I'm going to have ultimatums because we esteem others more than ourselves and ministry is not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. And love one another and comfort one another, exhort one another, pray with each other, disciple each other, forgive each other, build up each other. Exhort one another, help each other, visit one another, the elderly, the sick, the poor. Don't complain against each other. Don't murmur against each other. Don't judge one another. God did not leave us on earth to be judges. And lift up each other. And don't be a stumbling block for each other and care for each other. And so that's how we fulfill our paracleting ministry. So one more time. So Jesus is here and the Holy Spirit is here and we're in the Father's hand. But then we come out alongside as an outer layer of paracletes and we come alongside each other. And sometimes we're there to comfort, right? And sometimes we're there to correct and exhort. And we're there to pray. And if I can help you financially, why would I not do that? And it's not enough to say, be warm, be blessed, and God bless you when you have we wherewithal to help another person economically and to comfort each other and exhort each other and be careful. You know, dating someone who does not have a personal relationship with God, the Bible says that we cannot be married to a person who does not have a personal relationship with God. So I would advise you not to go down this road be a friend to that person, witness to that person, bring them to church, let God save them. But as far as emotionally entangling myself with that relationship, it can lead nowhere. There's nowhere for this to go. But try to win them for the Lord. And so we exhort and we counsel and we comfort and we pray and we give and we accompany. And so when the neighbor's wife or someone has cancer, we can take meals over and we can watch the kids, or we can accompany the wife to cancer treatments because the husband is working. We can watch, we can do meals and we can do this, and we can come alongside and we can be Paraclete. And if I can't do it, then you can do it, and you can do it, because we are the body of Jesus Christ. And every gift and everything that is given is to supply the needs of the body. And if nobody can do it, we're never alone, because we have our perfect Paraclete when we fall short. But there's a lot that we can do as a family, as a body, as the bride of Christ, to Paraclete one with another. Thank you. Appreciate you. Thanks for Paracleting with me. Yeah, there you go. So here's some final illustrations, applications. Think about this with me here. I believe that our Paracleting ministry begins with our spouse. God called us alongside of our spouse, joined us as one flesh in holy matrimony. And God has called us and led us and placed us alongside of our spouse to be a Paraclete. So much so that the leaders of the church can't even function as leaders if they're not being good Paracletes with their wife and their family. And that's true with all of us. So how are we treating ourselves? God never, never, never designed marriage and never called us to come alongside of our spouse to mistreat our spouse, berate our spouse, beat our spouse down. You know that look that you give your spouse where you roll your eyes? Like, you did it again. How many times have I told you not to park the car so close to the wall? You can get in, but when I have to get in, I bump the door against the wall. I'm chipping the paint. How many times have I told you? God never placed us in a Paraclete relationship with our spouse to beat our spouse down, to berate our spouse, to abuse our spouse sexually, physically, emotionally, verbally. God never placed us along our spouse to take advantage of our spouse and manipulate our spouse through actions and words and ultimatums and looks and our tone of voice and our comments and how we treat our spouse. God never called us to come along our spouse and treat them that way. Amen? Amen. Paracleting is always for edification. It's never for this stuff. Never. So what type of paracleting are we doing with our spouse? It starts in the home. It's the most intimate level of paracleting that exists. Tone of voice, actions, words, patterns of behavior, manipulation, finances, sex, emotion, words, actions, reactions, anger. Everybody in the home afraid of us? Watch out, Dad's on the warpath today. Watch out, Mom's in a bad mood. There's a pattern of behavior of anger. And so we're just controlling and manipulating the whole family through that. And we justify ourselves. God never called us. By the way, that's not the fruit of the Spirit either. But God never called us to this paracleting relationship to do harm and damage to our spouse. Never. Mm-mm. Conflicts. We can have conflicts and resolve them without fighting and attacking. Your spouse is not your enemy. Your flesh is your enemy. Your selfishness is your enemy. The world is your enemy. The devil is the enemy. But your spouse is not your enemy. Don't attack your spouse. Work on the problem together with prayer. And if you need outside counseling, get outside counseling. But your spouse is not your enemy. Don't attack your spouse. God did not call us to that. In our children. So God gave us these wonderful children, and he placed them in our home, and he's given us a paracleting ministry, every one of us with our children in our home. And we're there to nurture them and love them with patience and nurture them and love them. And yes, with love and humility, correct them and discipline and put them on the right path and raise them up in the things of the Lord. But God never called us to come alongside of our children and abuse them physically, verbally, emotionally, sexually. Never called us to come alongside of our children to beat them down. Why can't you be like your sister? I told you how many times how to do this math problem. You're not listening. You need to apply yourself. You're lazy. I've told you 3 times. What's the matter with you? That's cuts on our children's souls. It's cuts. It's cuts. It's cuts. Now, God is bigger than that, and God forgive us for that. And we need to ask forgiveness of God and our children for doing that. Why can't you be like your sister? She keeps a neat room. Your room is a disaster. You're like Pig Peng on Charlie Brown. What's the matter with you? I've given you drawers. I've labeled the drawers. Listen, I've labeled the drawers where everything goes. I come in here in 1 week's time. It is a disaster. What's the matter with you? There's nothing the matter with the child. It's not his personality. We can learn to pick up clothes and we can learn to be a bit more orderly, but what's not our personality is not going to be natural to us, right? Why do you like that? Why can't be like your sister? Why can't be like your brother? You're never going to amount to anything. You don't listen. You don't pay attention. What's the matter with you? Cuts, 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 cuts. God never placed our children in our paraclete relationship to do that to them. And when we do, and we all do, and we all make mistakes, and we all get angry when we shouldn't get angry, we ask God's forgiveness and we ask their forgiveness, right? Amen? Humility and love. Humility and love. And God is bigger than the things that my parents did to me, and God is bigger than the things that I've done to my children. God is bigger, but we need to have our vision clear. Do you understand me? Have our vision clear. Paracleting ministry. And so now we paraclete with elderly parents and parents paraclete with children who have graduated from college and can't find a job. It's a different world. This is not the 80s. This is not the 90s. My dad worked for GTE Sylvania in Tawanda his entire career. If you hold a job for 5 years now, you're fortunate. It's not the world today. It's a different world. And parents with children and children with parents. And where else do we paraclete? In the church. We're a body. We're the body of Christ. We're the family of Christ. We're the bride of... We don't beat people down here. So someone's son is having problems in their marriage and they're talking about separation or divorce. Probably weren't good parents. That's why that's happening. Didn't happen to our kids. Do you see the pride there? The hypocrisy, the pride. God has not called us to be judges. He's called us to be paracletes. Amen? And that person that feels alone and is beat down by what has happened, because I raise my child in the Word of God, and he knows it and I know it, but the wife is not cooperating, or the other person is not cooperating, and we've raised them in the Lord. I don't need to be judged and beat down by snide comments. I need a body of Christ to rally around me and be a paraclete and love me and comfort me and pray with me and help me reach my son, right? But we've not called to be judges. We've been called to be paracletes. So we paraclete one with another in the body of Christ. Wonderful. And then finally, we paraclete with the world. Why with the world? Well, you call that evangelism, making disciples, the Great Commission, missions. We, every one of us, is called to come along people who don't have an intimate relationship, saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And we are called to come alongside of them and be light and salt and testimony and share God's love and God's message so they have an opportunity to embrace Jesus Christ as their Savior. So we paraclete with the world. It's called missions, right? It's called evangelism. It's called making disciples. And we come alongside a lost world to love them like Jesus did and reach out to them like Jesus did. We show love to them in tangible ways. We'll shovel the neighbor's drive. See, I can't say that because we don't have snow in Peru, okay? So I can't even come up with a word. We'll shovel their driveway for them because the wife has cancer. Or because he's elderly. Or because whatever. And because God has called us to paraclete with a lost world. And we show love in tangible ways. And then we share the message in different ways. And we need to be careful as Christians not to isolate ourselves. We go to work to home, to church to home, the store to home, to church to home, the store to home, the restaurant to home. And it's easy to isolate ourselves, and we're not being very good paracletes with the world. And we're called to be paracletes with the world, not just the body of Christ. We're called to be paracletes with the world. How are we going to reach the world if we're not rubbing shoulders with them and showing them his love in tangible ways and sharing his message? It's called missions. It's called making disciples. It's called being a light. And so this is our paraclete ministry. So I think, you know, how are we doing? How are you doing with your spouse? How are you doing with your children, with your parents, with your family? How are we doing with the church? How are we doing with the world? And thank you for paracleting with us all these many years, ever since we went out to the field of praying for us and supporting us and helping us, paracleting with us, coming alongside of us and helping us get out to Peru and in the field and stay there and work there. Wonderful paracleting ministry with our missionaries. Well, these are just some applications. Make sense? All clear? May God help us. So as you have been paracleting with us and sending us to Peru in just a couple of minutes here, let me give you a quick overview of our ministry. So we've been involved in 5 church plants in Arequipa. This is the latest one, New Life Baptist Church in Arequipa. God miraculously, wonderfully provided a building. Not every church has its own building. It doesn't have to be, because the church is not a building. And so a lot of churches will meet in a school because they don't have classes on Sunday. We have a church in Arequipa that's been meeting in a church for 25 years because they simply don't have money, and it has not been God's will to give them their own building. But a building does not stop a church, amen? Imagine the church of Christ is limited to a building. No. Do church planting, do the work of God, and he'll figure out what we need to do as far as where to meet. But God did do something special. Paul and Nicole, our oldest daughter, received the baton from us in this church plant. He's now the senior pastor. Kayla was about 2 years old at that time. So let's quickly look at some of the ministries that are in this latest church plant, New Life. They came up with this purpose statement. Pastor Paul and the church came up with this purpose statement. New Life exists so that Jesus may be known, followed, and glorified in Arequipa and in all the ethnic groups or peoples of Peru and the world. Some of our ministries, we work with men, and we have the woman and young ladies ministries, do a lot of things with kids and a kids club. We have young adults that meet frequently in teen ministries, adolescents, and in college age teams. We have marriage ministries where we meet with young married, and then we meet apart with mature married. Don't use the word old. It's mature married. Okay? We have mission trips that the church has done out of the church to different cities to help do mission trips. Peru 20 is an initiative where Peru has 20 states, or they call them departments. And this missions initiative was birthed in Arequipa, where we from Arequipa want to get into the 20 states of Peru within 20 years with the gospel. Pretty neat, huh? John 3:16 is an evangelistic team with puppets and mime and drama and music and so on and so forth. And we have some other evangelistic ministries in the church. And here's another view of the auditorium. This church started in our home with 0 believers, with just some friends that we've made. Made friends with the neighbors, invited them over, went out to eat together. I joined the Rotary Club. I played tennis with them. They were interested in American recipes. Debbie did cooking classes for them. So finally we got a group of like 12 unbelievers, said, we have some neat Bible studies. Would you like to come? So we started Thursday night in our home with pure unbelievers, Bible study. And now today on Sundays, the church runs about 200. And it has all of these different ministries, and God is really blessing and branching out to do missions. New Life Baptist Church. Yeah. A quick review of some of the things that we're involved in. Peru has about 30 million people. We're in Arequipa. We arrived in 1985. So that's 32 years now. I went when I was 8. And so we've been there a million souls. Little Roma, Peru. Arequipa was founded in 1540 by Jesuit priests. And so Catholicism is stronger there than any place else. Monasteries, convents, Catholic churches all over the place. We want to, from Arequipa, we want to do missions, as the Bible says, work in our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. our purpose statement. Now, let me back up a little bit. I'm also serving as regional director over SSA, Spanish South America. So I travel all over Spanish South America, and we duplicate what we're doing in Arequipa and Peru regarding church planting, leadership training, church planting movements, missions movements, etc. So our purpose statement for our region is we exist to make disciples and facilitate church planting and missions movements through regional team collaboration. Regional, that's all of Spanish South America working together as one big team. And through our local partners for the glory of God. There's stages in the ministry. We went to Arequipa. It was a pioneer stage. 1 million people, zero independent Baptist churches. Zero in 1985. We were blessed to start with what we call a church planting team. The gospel had already been spread in Iquitos, which is where my wife Debbie was born. Mission work had been done in the jungles of Peru. So there were two families that were called in the missions, and us and our in-laws. So the four families formed a church planting team. We went to Arequipa together to pioneer and open up the city of 1 million people. We mixed and matched to plant one church, a second church, a third church. Other people came down, joined our group, and from there, pioneer church planting. So you have these churches. The second stage is where you see that there's strengthening. And then they're thinking about, we need to plant another church. We need to plant more churches. Reproduction. The third stage is when you have several churches planting daughter churches all over the place. And it evolves into what we call a church planting movement and multiplication, where church plants are taking place all over the place. And we've had that in Arequipa during these years, whereby now we went from zero churches today to about 70 churches. We have about 70 churches in Arequipa in the outerlying area working in teams to plant churches and train leaders so that we have leaders for the local church and to be pastors of these new churches, and also to prepare missionaries that will go out around the world. So we started a Bible college, we started a camp, we started a pastor's fellowship, pastor's wife fellowship, church fellowship, trying to rally and work together. And the goal is to build, see God, Matthew 9, lift up an army of local workers, people who work in the local church and be pastors of all of these new churches, and some will go out as missionaries around the world. So our vision is South America, a launching pad for worldwide missions. And we're getting there. From Peru, we have Peruvian missionaries in over 20 countries of the world. And so not only are we seeing a church planting movement, we're in the final stage where we are in the sending stage, preparing and sending Peruvian missionaries around the world. The Great Commission is not just for developed countries. It is for every country, every people. Amen? Mm-hmm. So the job of the missionary is to plant churches. It's to plant churches with them. It's to train them to take over the church and lead the church. It's to work in partnership with them to plant more churches. It's to work with them to train more leaders. It's to train more pastors and train missionaries and help them train missionaries who will go out around the world. We have Peruvian missionaries in China, in India, in Morocco, Africa, in Iraq, in Israel, in Germany, and closer to home, in all of South America, Central America. Our ministries these many years have been these, church planting and strengthening. And leadership training, because they're the future. I'm not the future of Peru, as young as I am. I'm not the future of Peru. They're the future of Peru, right? So we have to train them and empower them to carry on the work. And so leadership training, we started a pastors and wives fellowship. So every new struggling little church plant of 20 people, 40 people, 50 people is not an island in a silo in all by itself. We're trying to work together. Some people resist that. Some people resist that, but that's what we're trying to do. And so that has helped in training leaders, planting churches, and sending missionaries. Camp, we started a camp. What we'd like to do is start a counseling center, because that will help us reach a lot of people who will not set foot in our church building, won't be caught dead. They're Catholic. They cannot set foot in our church building. But if we can start a counseling center, marriages are a mess, families are a mess, teenage pregnancies, abortions. So that's one of our goals that you could pray for. Teamwork, working in Arequipa, Peru, and around the world. We don't have to be the same to work together in a team. We don't have to be exactly the same. No clones. So, Spanish South America, 200 million souls. These have been our major ministries. Apart from the five that I just mentioned, these are other ministries we've had in my regional director role. Have I come alongside the missionary and his family? And we talk about paracleting. Missionary and his ministry. Every missionary has the same vision, have the same purpose, the same vision, the same goal. We're all on the same page. We're all contributing in different ways to the same end. And I help them develop their strategic plans. Missionary and his field team, we work with the field team, his sending supporting churches, the missionary and the home team, and we work with our local partners. And once again, New Life Baptist Church, supporting missionaries, trying to send out missionaries. Right now in the church, there's about four or five people who are very interested in feeling that God may be calling them into missions. And so we have to work with them through that process. Our pastoral team in New Life Baptist Church, God's given us a wonderful team there. God is great, right? Yes. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your paracleting ministry with us and help us to evaluate and see where we can be even better paracletes. We are paracleting, but there's always something more and better and different that we can do to show your love in tangible ways and share your message with believers to edify them and share your message with those that don't have a saving, intimate relationship with you. Show us the way. Help us to work with humility and love and guide us. I pray that you will bless this church, protect it, lift it up, extend its borders, continue to use it in wonderful ways. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Pastor?
Wow, that was really good, wasn't it? Well, that's why I never tell a minister what to speak except for, I don't want to hear nothing about being addicted to coffee because I'm already addicted to coffee. We're safe. But I always ask the Lord to give the minister what we need, and that's what we needed. Thank you, Father, for your loving kindness to us and the edification ministry of you, Christ, and your indwelling Spirit, Holy Spirit. Thank you. We need help on all sides, and we have it in our God. Now, Lord, build your church. It's your church, Christ. Your church here, your church in Peru, it's your church. Let not the gates of hell prevail against it. You will prevail because you prevailed on the cross. You conquered death for us, and you want your life to be fully developed in us, every one of us, and to come through us. Lord, help us to bear that fruit. The life of Christ, the fragrance of Christ, the aroma of Christ. So, so important. That's real life. And may other people see Jesus in us and be drawn to him, knowing their own emptiness, the darkness of their hearts and minds. Help us to evangelize in love, expecting nothing from the lost, expecting nothing from them, but giving everything to them for your name's sake and glory. And Lord, help us again to see how we can be a blessing to other people's lives, to want to be that comforter, to want to be that encourager, the one who builds up. And yes, corrects when we need to in love, pointing and warning from not to do certain things. So important, all these things, dear Lord, of your ministry. And Holy Spirit, just have your way with us. And bless Steve and Debbie. Thank you for their faithfulness to you, Thank you for your faithfulness to them. And use us all for your glory. And all God's people say, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.